Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 3rd. Almost got caught in a loop there. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live, as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, tonight's topic. This is an interesting one, and it's something that's going to be a bit of a learning process for me as well as we go through it. It's going to be a great discussion, past lives and injured memories.
Yeah, this is a really big subject, and I thought we should start out with some actual data, you know, because first of all, you have to kind of assume to believe that past life memory is a real thing. I happen to think it is. So, yeah, again, as metaphysicians, we look at all the various dimensions of space time, you know, and the soul.
All right, we're back. To all those that had a moment of no sound, we apologize. We lost the connection with Mixler to the internet for a moment there, but we are back. And I guess a little early preview, we're actually looking into some alternative platforms because of the issues we've had of late, but something for another time. Dr. Hunter, you were making some great points, and I'm so sorry that they cut out in the middle of that, but we're back live.
Okay, so some people may want to refresh, so I'm just going to write that in the chat because we're back. Okay. So I just have to, I can't multitask, think of something else and type at the same time. So here we go.
Oh, come on.
That's the thing about a live show. You never know what's going to happen. Okay. So what I was saying is, assuming reincarnation is true, Dr. Stephen wrote in the chat, 11 dimensions of space time. Yes. And different, you know, we exist on different dimensions. True enough. But let's assume reincarnation is true. I went through, did a little research here and found an article that was a medical journal that was put out, Scientific Exploration Journal, in 2005. It was based on some information that was collected from the 1980s forward. And it talks about past lives. But we have to establish first that the typical features of children who claim to remember previous lives. And I'm more trusting of children speaking of past lives than adults, but we'll get to that in a second. Children who speak about previous lives usually begin to do so between the age of 2 and 4. And it reads, in a group of 458, the mean age for first speaking about previous life experiences was 37 months. That's age 3. Most of the children continue to make references to a previous life until they're about 6 or 8. So in a group of 135 cases, the mean age of ceasing to speak about previous lives was about, 7.5. So the contents and the number of children, of course, it states that it varies widely. But most of the children refer to the mode of death in the previous life. In a group of 419 cases, 74% referred to the mode of death. Violent death figured in these cases more often. In a group of 536 cases, the concerned deceased person died violently in 274 of the cases. So they've done some pretty extensive research interviewing kids from all over the world. And in this particular data that I was reading, there was 12 actual testimonial cases, which they followed up on, interviewed the family, siblings, not just the subject of who that was. So it said the children, I want to just say this, the children of this group are most easily in countries and cultures with a tradition of belief in reincarnation. So we have to establish that. But it also occurs in Europe and North America, where such a tradition does not exist. Two of the cases reported were, of this 12 that's in this study, two were in the U.S. So specifically, it's divided into three areas. The first two was the real focus, which one was skin anomalies, and the second was birth defects and malformations. So they would talk about how they had a memory of let's say skin anomalies, that might be a mole, mm-hmm. a birthmark, for instance, or, something else with the skin, rash or so on. And again, we're not including here all the other possibilities of epigenetic memory or another, like a DNA matter. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that's specific, a whole rabbit hole unto itself.
It is. So specific to a past life, I know I have two marks on my body. One, I absolutely know I was shot with an arrow, and another one, I was stabbed. So that's according to my memory. So those are what they would say, the skin anomalies. The other, birth defects, is really very interesting. So they talk about things where, let's say, gnarly fingers, where there's none of that that exists in the family medical history. Pregnancy was fine, didn't seem to be any abnormalities that way, and yet the child is born with something, but the child will remember or reference how they got that. So it would be the memory of, let's say, having died a violent death and come out with 3 missing fingers, for instance, in this lifetime, and they say, oh, that happened to me when I died the last time, which is really fascinating. Or any other kind of malformation in the body, again, that, science in this lifetime can't explain, or by a DNA factor. So then, of course, we have to take into account emotional memory, whether that's dreams, nightmares, experiences, somebody may have a twitch or OCD or, any number of things that they would also at that time, refer to when I was alive before, when I had a different mom, and those stories. So it's really very interesting that studies have been done on this. I just pulled up one for our conversation tonight, but there are many other studies. I know that there's a lot on YouTube of investigations into children with past life memory. But specific to this show, we wanted to talk about injury.
Right.
And how to work on the healing of issues in this lifetime when we believe that the cause was from a previous lifetime. Well, so, by the way, if anybody has any experiences, you know, in, like along this vein that you want to share in the chat, we'd love to hear about that. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, it's very interesting, you know, to think about and how these things might carry over and how they might manifest themselves. And, you know, they can manifest in any number of ways. And I've always thought that probability has a lot to do with the things beyond perception. I think, you know, some things carry through in our energy and the energy affects the probabilities around us. So birthmarks, we, you know, scientifically know where they come from, but talking about, we were going through, you know, skin anomalies, having a history of, you know, of past life events. I don't know if when you referred to, you know, a mark of being shot with an arrow, I don't know if, you know, what kind of mark it is, but I think that certain, it's interesting to think about if it's something that carries through from life to life and that energy carries through and it changes the probability of you having that birthmark just as a way of that kind of abstract thought of those kind of areas of science that we just can't grasp yet. And of course, because they're beyond our awareness, I'm, you know, basically grasping at straws trying to put together a thought about what it could be. but it's, you know, a fascinating topic. And I've always said the most interesting questions to ask are the ones that don't have definitive answers.
Exactly. That's so true. That's so true, Michael. In my work with people, I've had so many stories of people with past life experiences and working on some kind of healing in this lifetime. But it can be something as simple as, a late friend of mine, bless her heart, she passed when she was about 95, and she would talk about how she wasn't able to have children. But mm-hmm. as she got older, she had this very big tummy, and it really bothered her. You know, she's very healthy, very lean, but this big tummy. And she went to a psychic who also did past life readings, or claimed to, and said, you know, you had about 12 children in your last life. And you said for the next three lifetimes you did not want any children. And it just seemed to calm her in a way that, you know, it was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. And she made peace with the fact that she had a big tummy. And she'd talk about it. Well, this big tummy is the memory of all those kids I had before. And, yeah, I wouldn't want 12 kids. That's crazy, she said. You know?
Especially these days.
Yeah. But it it just gave her a sense of peace. Now, whether or not it's true doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. To her, that made sense. It resonated. And she was able to, you know, leave that alone and no more sweating it. I've had clients to work with horrific flashbacks of past lives and terrors that would randomly come up in their lives, and we would look back and they would reference another time space. And mm-hmm. as soon as we acknowledge it, you know, and relax with it, let the memories come, integrate them, they're able to move forward. I've also heard of cases, although I'm not witness to this, but people who have been, you know, born without sight, for instance. And for no apparent reason, there isn't a medical reason, there isn't, their eyes seem fine, nobody can figure out why they can't see, and yet the memory of having gone blind in a past life,
mm-hmm.
and I kid you not, Michael, they could suddenly see.
That's fascinating. So, I mean, and it ties much into belief, right? Because the belief in the awareness that you had as that being from a past life carried it forward, that belief structure was still in the soul, and it was having a physical manifestation.
Exactly. And so it was very profound for those who had those experiences. And I think what's, I know Wendy said, we kind of, she said, I'm not sure how I'd react if my child talked about a past life, and has anybody here had a child to recall a past life? And I, yes, absolutely. In fact, I had my grandkids here this weekend, and we were talking about past lives, and just a conversation over dinner, because that's what we do. We're eclectic sort that way. And I was mentioning how my other daughter, and I said, oh, your auntie had an imaginary friend, and I think she brought it from a past life. Her name was Belinka. And, oh, so we got her on the phone, and she said, yeah, I can even remember the language and some of the words that, you know, this friend taught her. But it was, she absolutely believes that there's awesome from a past life. Now, that same daughter came with a absolute terror of fire, just terror. I couldn't even light a candle in the house. She was so afraid of it burning down. So when she was 7 or 8, even, I started doing some hypnosis with her, as it was appropriate and comfortable for a child. And she was burned at the stake. She could, there's men on horses, and they lit the fire. And, you know, and she'd go into a panic. So I'd calm her down and bring her back and say, it's okay, you're here now. So as long as she could be in this life and ground into this life, it slowly did wane away. But that fear of fire did not go away until she was in her 30s. That's bonkers, hey?
It is.
So I mean, that's how long some of these memories, and she had no reason to be afraid of fire. But some of these memories are very profound.
And yeah, memory is about survival. And it was a traumatic event, incredibly painful. And the soul will do everything it can to try to avoid a similar situation that carried through, in this case, in a very meaningful and impactful way that had a real world and real life consequence. And it just goes to show, I think, that the soul is on a journey. And I think I was talking about this earlier, that a soul is created through aggregated awareness, through just awareness over time, making, you know, being reacting to the environment around you, thinking about it, reflecting on it. And it builds on itself, and it builds, and I think it, and if we're gonna, I at times will subscribe to the idea of this reincarnation as the soul going through successive lives and continuing to grow through each successive life. And
absolutely,
these things kind of carry through, and you know, it is, it's fascinating, and it's also unfortunate that, you know, these things will mark you, because it is a reminder that the world has been a very cruel place. As cruel as we think it is today, it is nothing like what it was in the past. The casual cruelty that humanity showed one another that we just don't see in the modern era, nowhere in the world. I mean, except in the most atrocious war zones that are fewer and far between than they ever have been.
Yeah, human beings are, there's a real dark side.
There is. And because of mass production and greater, you know, ability to get resources out there and lower poverty levels, we don't see as much of that viciousness. But make no mistake, we have to maintain constant vigilance, and we have to continue to grow. And I hope that, you know.
So Dr. Edward has set an entire speciality within the hypnosis field to help individuals with suspected ailments and conditions that could have been brought forward from this past life. He said, I bet that would be quite a practice. Dr. Edward, that is a practice. And there are people in psychotherapy and hypnotherapy who do that particular work. And I'm not talking about the, you know, like the new age alternative practitioners. I'm talking about in the very serious business of psychotherapy. And there are those who do work in that field. I think, though, with a lot of psychology professions and their associations, they're limited. But when they kind of get over the edge, too, in the kind of the research, it's very It's quite the field. Dr. Stephen has put an interesting story in the chat. I'd like to read that for our you know, audio listeners.
Of course.
He said he was working in Abu Dhabi several years ago, walking in a crosswalk across the Cornish Seaside Expressway, and suddenly suffered an acute pain in the upper left leg muscle, and he couldn't walk. Fortunately, he was going on the island. Fortunately, I was in the island in the middle of the crosswalk. I just stood there for several cycles of the lights trying to figure out what was going on. About 30 minutes later, he was able to take careful steps. I finished crossing the roadway and limped back to my townhouse. I called my teacher in esoteric prana energy, and he told me that I was at the location of a sword fight that I was involved in several lifetimes ago. Needless to say, I did not do well in that fight and passed as the consequence with a severe cut in the leg. Just absolutely fascinating. He said it took a while to resolve the pain over several months. Now, when again, what's so extraordinary about that and why that explanation sits very well with me is that there – you go to a doctor, you get checked over, you can have CT scans, MRIs, there's nothing there, but you have this, obviously, a phantom pain that comes from somewhere.
Well, it comes from, you know, it comes from the soul, for lack of a better word. It doesn't come from the biomechanical machinery of our body. It comes from the energy that lights that machine, that, you know, fills it with energy and pushes it on. And just like the fire trauma, this is another form of trauma that carries forward, part of the evolutionary track, as the soul grows from life to life. Just my little theory, you know, again, I have no way of proving it, but, and it is indicative of a larger journey, which is nice to think about this grander journey towards wisdom, which perhaps maybe the reason things have gotten better in part is because of the accrued wisdom of several lifetimes. When you think about the fact that we can estimate, going back through known history and talking about modern anatomical humans, we can estimate that there have been about 100 billion of us that have come and gone and lived on this earth. That's a lot of souls. That's a lot of, you know, we talk about how many people there are now versus how many there were and how could there, you know, be that many, but there's been a lot of us all throughout time. And who's to say we don't take centuries or millennia off? And again, the space-time continuum is a very complicated thing that's far and above anything that we're aware of at this time in our development. So the idea of moving from life to life in a nonlinear fashion has also always been fascinating to me. And to think that, I mean, to carry it with our theme for the night, do you think that would have any effect on injury? I mean, if it was, it's the previous life, so from your perspective, it's from a previous time, but rejoining the linear space-time continuum of physical life, you might just be in a different time. It's just always been a fascinating thing, but I also would say that when it comes to the professionals that study this and the hypnotherapists and the people that can do interesting, legitimate work to uncover this, it's a science, but it's also in large ways an art, because you know, false memories are so easy to create. It's people that can let whatever is there come to the light without implanting their own suggestion, and it takes a reasonable mind.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry to cut you off, Mark. I think we do know the distinction between an imagination versus a memory. I think we do. It's kind of like that feeling of deja vu that we all get. You know, that, ooh, wait a minute, I've been here before. It kind of resonates on that feeling or that frequency of feeling where, oh, this is real, you know, but a different, as opposed to, I think we know what we conjure up if we admit it, then don't try to force to fill in the blanks. I think that's when we kind of screw up the memory. That's what happens.
That's another thing.
I'd like to read Michael G's little thing here in the chat.
Yeah, I was just reading that myself, actually. That's great timing.
Okay. Michael G says, I was told in a regression that I'd been a pastor and had been shot to death due to not staying within the norms of the church. That sounds like Christianity. Still doing that, brackets. I have severe pain in my ribs every now and then. Nothing's been found. I never thought about it being related to a past life. Makes sense. That would make sense to me. Now, if you can make peace with that past life, in other words, that memory wants to speak to you, and there's layers of it. It's not just the actual, but it's the feelings of it, the senses of it. And when you make peace with it at all the different levels, then it will likely just kind of vanish. Like, it just goes away. So sorry to cut you off, Michael. You know, sometimes for our audience, sometimes Skype does a little delay now and again with Michael and I talking to each other. So we don't mean to step on each other. It's just that sometimes there's these little glitches in our matrix.
Oh, no, we were just stepping on ourselves to do the same thing. I was actually also going to point out Michael G's story from the chat and kind of talk about it, how it's been, you know, definitely relating with what we've been going over. And these are fascinating stories, and it's just an interesting way to think about life, way to think about what it means to be alive, how life carries from, you know, how experiences, I should say, carry from one life to the next to the next. And they expand in a, you know, compound on each other.
Well, Dr. Stevens says energy practitioners are trained, we hope, to go into, I put in the hope part, are trained to go into past lives to fix problems in past lives and bring forward the cure to relieve the present body. Well, they're facilitators in that way. And there are people who can help guide somebody through. But you first have to establish that that's what it is. I'm very careful when people claim to have, you know, certain memories. Again, where's that memory come from? We have to establish that it could likely be and may well be a past life, because it could be something in this lifetime that creates an emotional limp, as we say. It could be the epigenetic memory. Remember, science now knows that there's 14 generations of emotional memory. So it's not just the color of your hair or eyes or skin, you know, or your nose or your ears. There's also emotional cellular memory that we bring down. So, you know, where is it? But what I do appreciate are the people who do this work, you know, with sincerity, and they know how to adequately facilitate people into isolating that. The Eastern philosophies, for instance, you would go to a monk or, you know, some of the medicine people in your community. And one of the things that this Chinese man told me many, many years ago in his culture is, here's how it went. I was in Taekwondo, and I kept breaking, you know, the toes of my left foot several times. And he had said that in his culture, that if you went to the healer, you know, medicine people, three times and you still hadn't gone to the root of the problem, they're not going to fix you until you get to the root of the problem. Why are you doing that? Where is the memory? And of course, for me, it was in this lifetime when I broke my foot when I was 5. And I had to reattach my cellular memory to that experience. So it's not a past life, wasn't epigenetic. It was something in this lifetime. So, you know, I mean, I was obviously still at some level favoring favoring too much, probably, the left side of my body and my left foot. So, well, I mean, there we go. So that was a logical explanation. But I appreciate that there are many cultures and practitioners, even in the Western world, that would consider that maybe what you're dealing with is more than this lifetime. Right. I like that.
Well, we have to keep open minds to the fact that we only know but a fraction of the total amount of knowledge that is out there. Yeah. It's pathetic how much we don't know. And when we we look at it with a little bit of humility, and we realize our place in the grand scheme of things, we realize that there's much that is left to our instinct, left to our, you know, I don't want to say imagination, because it's more than that, in terms of trying to expand upon what does this mean? What do these memories of past lives mean? How do they fit into the larger structure? Because there's a lot of things that we don't know, and maybe we're not meant to at this stage. But it doesn't change the fact that here in this life, we are here now. And, you know, even the Buddha said, it does not matter where we came from, it doesn't matter where we're going. What matters is the here and now and how we live this life in terms of the overall progression. Of course, that is, you know, a bit of a subtext in the overall path to nirvana, as they would look at it. But,
Well, that's why I'm an avid believer. We don't need to go looking around digging for past lives. If it wants to be heard, it'll come to us in some form.
This is true.
And this is a great conversation.
You know, I mean, just to wrap it up, I would say, to think about past lives mixed with also, you know, genetic memory is an incredibly complex scape of different influences on the, you know, existing mind and body. Now, in the last question I'll ask you before we move on to our cards, which we're going to dive into, is this. How much of an effect do you think, well, I'll rephrase it. Do you carry the genetic memories that you had in this life into future lives? Do you carry that genetic history with you into future lives? And does your, well, because I personally do not think necessarily your soul would follow necessarily a same track. I mean, ultimately, we all originated out of Africa. I would like to think that the soul would be able to transcend to different perspectives from different cultures throughout time. I don't necessarily have anything to back that, but it'd be an interesting thought.
Well, that's loaded. That's absolutely loaded, Michael, because if I am, each of us is, a compilation of all these various memories into one nature, we're going to carry forward that genetic memory as well as our own life energy and memory. So, I mean, it's big. It's big.
No, life is.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just agreeing with you. Life is big.
It's big. It's really big. But, you know, this is a great discussion. It gets us thinking about things. You know, hopefully it stimulated something for, you know, all of our listeners. So glad to see so many people in the chat and all the conversations going on. Thanks very much. But now I think it's time for our next segment, Michael.
It is. It is. And we're going to start pulling cards for people that have requested them in chat. And if you haven't yet, please throw your name in if you'd like a card drawn for you. We're going to draw from the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards that we have here at the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism, and we're going to pair that with a tarot card drawing from Dr. Hunter, and it always tells an interesting story.
It does so. I had already asked in the chat who would like cards, and we're getting started with Dr. Edward.
All right, and Dr. Edward, I have pulled wild card number 3, Blocks. I don't think it's been a while since we pulled this one. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
All right. Now, for that, as a support energy, the King of Clubs. You know, the King of Clubs he likes change. He likes to be an overseer. He likes some security, a measure of that too, but he's very insightful. I think that in some respects he has more of a worldly insight than the other suits or the men that reflect other suits. And so I would say that you're knowing when to stop and start, Edward, and this might be a time to stop, take a breath, because you have an intuition and a good sense to do that, and you have a good sense about when to move forward. So this is, I'm going to go with this. It's a stop-start kind of thing. Know what's blocking your way, when you can move, you know, and so keep your sensory perception and that good, you know, life experience knowledge that you have right at the front of your brain, and you'll work through this stop-start kind of energy that's just in the works right now. It's all temporary. So what I have to say about that.
All right. And then I believe we have Jamil next.
Jamil.
And I have number 22, think for yourself.
All right.
Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Well, I got the Three of Diamonds, Three of Pentacles in tarot language for you, Jamil. Think for yourself with the Three of Diamonds. It's what's your faith, basically, and staying rooted in your own faith. It's no matter what's going on around you. Certainly be curious, you know, but I think it's easy, and we're all tested at times by our environment. You know, it's funny. My daughter once said to me, this is why it comes to mind. My eldest daughter said, boy, everywhere you move, there's Christians everywhere. You have such an issue with Christians. And I said, no, I don't. They're everywhere.
Well, I would say that probably more accurate, you have a issue with orthodoxy and people that are, you know, strict in their beliefs and exclusive.
Yeah, that's true. No, this is true. Thank you for that. You had my back, Michael. I love that. So, Jamila, it's kind of like that. And think for yourself. What is your sense of spirituality and your sense? Oh, Wendy just said you had that card on the 6th of January. Wow, something repeating for you, Jamil.
Hey.
So, be in who you are. Don't be afraid to be yourself. And, you know, it doesn't mean you have to blab it to the world. It's just be comfortable in who you are and what you think, what you believe. So,
it's just
Gene,
another,
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, just another interesting example of the energies in the world beyond our awareness, kind of reaching out through probability to maybe bring in another... It was an emphasis day at that, bringing in another, message. But anyway, as you were saying about Gene.
Gene, thanks for joining us tonight. Michael, what do you have for Gene?
Gene, I have number 35, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
Oh, Gene, you're going to love this. I got the Magician. Mm-hmm. So the support energy, it's a support symbol here. To the one planet, one race is your own metamorphosis, your own transformation, and you are bringing that change to the world by setting the example, by being attacked with your spirituality. You're able to share that. So you setting the example of that is kind of contagious to others. So this is a reinforcement. This is kind of an affirmation for you that you're on the right track, that life is unfolding as it should. So even Dr. Steven said, ooh, the Magician. Yeah, that's very cool. So that's a powerful affirmation for you, Gene. I love that.
All right. Very nice. And I believe we have Elena next.
Oh, yeah, Elena. Let's see what we got for Elena, Michael.
Well, tonight we have wild card number 5, Don't Hate.
Ooh, okay.
A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to yourself and others.
I got the hermit in support of that for you, Elena. And I think what it's basically saying, look, the world's a really frustrating place right now. And it's easy to get irritated. Trust me, I have my moments too. I look around and I tell you, my eyeballs are, so I was telling a friend last night, my eyeballs are stuck in the back of my head. I'm rolling my eyes so much. That hermit's basically saying, look within, you know, really check in with yourself and remember about humanity and yourself. And even when people are putting that on you, their measures of prejudice or their, you know, criticisms or, you know, everybody's got an opinion these days, right? Just shrug it off. Go deep in yourself and just the key is knowing who you are and being okay with that. And yeah, there's a lot of things to learn about navigating through life, but you know, this is just saying you're okay. You know, just that little reminder of stay on the good side. You know, we all meet our dark side and decide, nah, it's not worth it. I know who I am. So that doesn't mean you can't be a warrior.
This is true. Well, humans are nothing if not a paradox. We are many things at the same time.
We are so. I hope that helps, Elena. Michael G is next. Michael.
All right. Well, from one Michael to another, I have number 33, preference over principle.
One of my favorites.
A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
All right. Well, wasn't there another line after that? No? I was waiting. I thought there was another line after that one. Sorry.
Not unless somebody came in and whited it out on my book.
Oh, hey.
And those rascally CIA agents, they're always trying to fiddle with my knowledge. You know, I'm telling you what. Get my tinfoil
Michael G. We've got the Ace of Hearts in support of that. I love it. You know, ultimately, there is this freedom that comes from living from your heart. It doesn't mean you don't have a good mind, and it certainly doesn't mean that you're not wise and know what to do in difficult situations, but it means that you always return to the heart. And when you return to the heart, you know the difference between preference and principle, and you can check in with that much easier than if you're in your head all the time. So this is just that, you know, just that affirmation, that reminder to you of check in with your heart when don't fight over preference stuff. That's for you in your own private life. When you're alone, you can eat with your mouth open, not when you're out with other people, you know, that kind of stuff. But when it comes to dealing with other people, it's go back to your heart. You know, remember, yeah, we're dealing with a lot of different types of people these days, but it's one humanity. So I hope that helps. A little reminder there.
Very nice. I love that. And I believe we have Audra next.
Audra, nice to have you.
I'm getting a lot of 30s. I got greatness to deliver. We know that Audra has greatness to deliver. That's a great card.
Yes, it is.
All right. Number 30, another one of the 30s. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, What do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Well, in support of that, it's the Nine of Hearts, Audra, and the Nine of Cups in tarot language. That's abundance, but what really comes to mind, my first flash of this, is that everyone needs to, at times, replenish their own energy, regenerate their own energy. So, yes, in your greatness to deliver, don't overlook the fact that sometimes you need to put your feet up, maybe have a glass of wine, or at least a cup of tea, you know, listen to some music, chill out, and replenish your energy. And make sure that you're always abundance is that replenishment, right? That's what that is. When you do that for yourself, then you have more energy to go the next step. So that's my suggestion in that. It's not just about other things coming to you. It's also what you're doing for yourself. So that's how I got that connection there. So take care of yourself, Audra. Don't put out more energy than you have. So she said, it's a conversation I was having with my employees today. There's a lot of complaining and finger pointing. And she said, if you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem. That's right. Yeah. So as you're dealing with
darn
all
right.
That, so but you need to take care of yourself too, to be able to manage all these people, Audra. So
well, and whenever
good care.
Absolutely. And, you know, whenever there is a lot of that going around, it sucks the energy out of you. Don't let them do that to you, just as Dr. Arnold was saying.
No, absolutely. We have Dr. Shirley next, Michael.
Oh, one after the other. I'm constantly shuffling, so I don't know how they're this close, but right after number 30 is number 29, Pay It Forward.
All right.
Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way you can pay it forward right now?
Well, in support of that, you're going to love this, Dr. Shirley. I got the Lovers. Now, understand that Lovers is reflective of passion. It doesn't necessarily mean intimacy in the human form. It can mean passion of the spirit, passion of your heart, passion of your calling. You know, it's where your energy comes from, what excites you. So in the pay it forward, I almost want to say too that something might be coming to you. You know, kind of a karmic reward of some kind, although I'm not necessarily always in belief of that, but I feel like that might apply here. So somebody might do something nice for you, like because you paid it forward before, they're going to do it back in kind. But this is also about you and what I would say is looking for something that really excites you that you might want to get involved with, some kind of organization, a group, a committee, you know, that kind of thing. So I think something's on the way there for you. I feel good energy in there. Wendy says she wants a passion card. That's fun. Well, I have I missed any names, Michael?
Well, actually, some far off. I don't think we pulled the card for Wendy, did we? And I believe Wendy is our last card for the evening.
All right, Wendy.
All right.
We look Wendy.
Oh, no, not at all. And Wendy, our card keeper, you have wild card number 2, and then some. When you have reached your limits and you believe that you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile higher than you found it. Love that card.
Mm. 3 of clubs in support of that. So the 3 of wands, as tarot people would know it. Simply, and then some, what's the future look like for you? I know that Teach is hard to look at these days, you know, beyond tomorrow, what's this week. But this is, what are you working toward? What is your transition into what your life would look like in 2 or 3 years, for instance, and put a little bit of energy toward that. So even if that's doing a little bit of artwork, you know, that you want to build into that, or, you know, putting away a little bit of savings for something that you want in the future. So this, and then some, is just to, but it's for you. I get this feeling, Wendy, that it's something very specific to you. It's not what you necessarily out there giving to the world, but some plan of action and then some for yourself. So what does your future look like? Visualization is in order. All right.
Nice. All right.
You know, I have to tell you this, saying the Three of Clubs, playing cards with my grandkids this past weekend, they got pretty good at this rummy, so I told them I'm going to teach them how to play poker. But my grandson, who's soon to be 11, he refuses to call them clubs. He calls them clovers.
Well, of course.
And we say, they are clubs. He goes, they look like clovers, and that's what I'm calling them. So, hey, okay. If you want to call them clovers, I said, you won't do very well at the casino calling them clovers, though.
No, this is true, but, you know.
You know, don't go to the casino.
No judgment if you do, but but it just brings to mind, why are they called clubs? Why aren't they called clovers? You know, mysteries of our time. But now this is, you know, this has been a really interesting run of cards. We've had some trends we've seen. We've had some great messages, and it's been a great topic tonight. We've been able to delve into a lot of different areas when it comes to this, you know, the idea of previous injuries kind of extending into our current lives and that memory of that past pain carrying with us from life to life. It's fascinating, and it's indicative of what the universe might be, of whatever our awareness of what our soul, what kind of path it might be on. But any last comments, Dr. Hunter?
Well, it you know, throughout this program tonight, I've had this thought of maybe having a conversation about realities and how, what is our one reality versus, you know, so many people living in different realities, and it's really obvious these days. People are living in, I don't know what reality that is, but maybe that's a good discussion for next week.
Yeah.
You know, perceptions of reality.
I think it's a great topic for next week. It's locked in. Can't change it now. All no turning back, but
and it makes me think we're in a game show and I should put money down on it.
Well, we're talking about Vegas. I mean, it's just natural. It's the natural extension.
As Michael said, we're looking at changing our format, and I'm kind of excited. We'll have a big announcement coming up in the next, couple of weeks.
Let's talk about what we're aiming to do. How we're going to get there might change, but the end goal is going to be we're going to start looking to, you know, not only have our chat that we have here that we've come to know and love, we're also going to be able to live stream to hopefully our private Facebook group. And we're going to start putting ourselves out in the podcast world for people that, you know, might have an easier time doing that versus going to the archive section. So we're making some changes, and they're going to be coming down the line, and hopefully it doesn't change the experience too much. Would love to have a system that we would have people be able to call in perhaps for cards and things like that. So as you hear this, give us some feedback. Throw us some emails. You can find them right there on the website. You can throw it in chat. Let us know what you think. And we're excited to explore this new way of kind of bringing this program to you.
It's been a long time we've done it this way. We're ready to venture forward.
I can only procrastinate so long. And eventually, it's going to be fun. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. It's been a great topic, as always. Dr. Hunter, thank you for your time, and thank you for your insight. And everyone, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.